You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are talking about the most powerful engagement, the biggest union happening between Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe, who announced their engagement, and we spend a lot of time breaking it down.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Julie Ehrman, who's a founder and president of Angel City FC, and Christian and I try to make our play to become the announcers. That and more today on the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger, and you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians,
the Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby!
Okay. Yes, I hope, you know, we are taping this before the result of the election, so I'm hoping we have plenty of reasons to be happy.
Right? Should we be crying? What should we be doing?
Should it be a no baby?
Or, oh, no.
Or an oh no baby? You know, there's levels.
Or why baby? You let us know. I should do all of them and then just let production cut them in depending on what happened.
Correct. All right. I mean, look, we don't have the budget for that. There's not enough. We don't have enough tape. You know,
is that real?
Enough physical.
How many memory cards is this?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up.
Are you Christian James Smith and I'm Alexis, Kensingworth. And now we have to be that in order to survive this new world.
Okay. It's like we arrived at Ellis Island and we Americanized our names.
Polanco, I don't know him. I am Christian Vanderbeek.
from the Amsterdam Vanderbeeks.
Yeah, yes.
Hello, everybody. Yes, again, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed.
That's right. We're also the gulliest.
Bang, bang. Let's go.
My God, that's us banging on the door of the border to Canada.
Let us in, please.
We were only kidding when we said we were gully.
We'll learn French, whatever it takes.
No, je suis no gully.
Exciting show today because we're going to be joined by president and founder of Angel City FC, Julie Ehrman.
That's right.
So, you know, a lot to discuss about the future NWSL franchise. So,
we got a business tycoon on the show.
Okay, we're going to ask for financial advice.
During the break, I'm going to be like, all right, here's an idea. And she's going to be like, that's illegal. And then we're going to come back from a commercial.
Correct, yes. Yeah, so, she will be visibly startled at the return of every commercial break.
Who would even think of that? No, we're on the show.
All right, look, Julie, we're recording. Recording this, you're an accomplice.
You're also now giving us legal advice.
But a lot going on today. You know, let's talk about, you know, since we have a big obviously NWSL related guest, let's continue on that on that track and some big WOSO news, some big WNBA news. Okay,
all right. Whether you're dribbling a basketball, or I'm sorry, whether you're dribbling a ball with your foot or with your hand,
okay,
this is big news. Okay,
and you got to do it correctly in terms of
depending on the sport.
Yeah. It's very much allowed in one, and very much not allowed in the other.
So okay? I got a yellow card for a travel. Do you know how this sport works, sir?
No, but this is huge news. Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe are engaged.
That's right. Megan Rapinoe posted a photo on her Instagram of her kneeling as Sue Bird is below her in a pool, just chilling in a pool.
And I've mentioned this before, but I believe in gay and lesbian relationships, you each have to propose to each other. So for all, there was
Are
no
Are you
caption.
Sure about this?
I'm almost sure.
It's up to Sue Bird to propose to Megan.
So Megan, she took the first step. And it's basically, all right, ball's in your court. You either pass it back to me with your hand or your foot. All
okay.
Right?
Either way, I'm prepared.
Either way, I can definitely receive the ball.
I keep me up in the ring a little bit, and then let it fall.
Correct, because there was no caption. I believe Sue Bird posted the original photo, if I'm not mistaken. So there was no caption. It was just Megan Rapinoe proposing. Beautiful photo. They were like on an infinity pool or something like that, right?
It's not an infinity pool because there was a ledge. Infinity pool is ledgeless.
I don't know the rules. I don't know the infinity rules. Okay?
I mean, I'm here for the interior design part. Christian understands the relationship part.
So, but no, this is great, right? And it's interesting because a lot of people, I've seen this a lot too, people were already calling them married a long time ago. They would just say like Sue Bird's wife, Megan Rapinoe. This was often like
they're putting a lot of pressure on them. Jeez.
It was obviously inaccurate, but this was, right. The last like 2 years, you saw this often. People just assumed that they were married based on they have married people energy. You know what I mean?
This is what happens to you because people will say Alexis and his wife and Christian and his wife. And you're like, everybody relax. I don't even know where to find an infinity pool. Okay. How am I supposed to do this?
Okay. Am I giving off the wrong vibes? What's going on?
Is it the dog? Because we'll get rid of the dog. Is it what's giving you the sense that I'm for a commitment?
Okay. I'm just waiting for, my girlfriend to propose to me,
right? That's why you don't go in pools.
We should do the same thing for heterosexual couples as well, you know,
which is perfect because then it's up to you and you could take as long as you want to propose back, and you're like, I'm just looking for the right ring.
You've definitely laid your hand. Okay.
I see what you're doing.
I gotta see what my next move is. All right, this is a good, we should adopt this for all relationships. This is right. Great.
And I'm not, don't forget about the fact that my hands are sweating so bad that there's water everywhere. And also, why are the walls closing in? Who made this room smaller?
Oh my goodness. So, but obviously, shouts to them. It's going to be super cool. The one thing that, even some people pointed out to us that obviously whenever this, after COVID is over and then the wedding finally does happen, you know, we were talking a lot about Crashlyn. Crashlyn was the big couple, you know, of last year. And
were they or were they not going to invite us? That was the big thing.
That was the big thing. Everyone was talking about it.
Right. And we did get invited, but that got lost in the mail, which is such a shame.
They you go back to the episode, you can see them talk about it.
Yeah.
But then they also, now people are mentioning like now this union between the NWSL and WNBA. I mean, this is like royalty kind of, you know, marrying, right?
If COVID is over, this wedding is going to be humongous. It's going to be a World Cup and WNBA All-Star event.
Correct. And now people have also suggested, yo, let's just get in on the ground floor. The Cooligans need to be invited to this because this is very much soccer related.
And might I suggest you send that in a signature needed package because we want to actually go to this one.
Okay. So let's make sure that this happens. We need to a petition, whatever it takes. The Bird Rapinoe wedding is, definitely something like, look, we could understand the oversight of us missing out the Crashlyn wedding, but
it happens,
but not again.
Now there's time. Now there's time to focus on the important things.
Everybody sort of, so look, obviously.
Also, Sue Bird, I know a diamond guy, and it's on the up and up. So just you let me know. I got you.
It's called Up and Up Jewels.
Yeah. It's in a basement, but just trust me.
But that's why it's ironic, okay?
Yeah. You don't need windows.
Okay, so let's talk about what's going on at Everton a little bit. They had a big game. They have some transfer rumors. Let's start with Isco possibly going to Everton.
It's a huge get. I mean, Isco, I know he's not necessarily like in the plans at Real Madrid, but he'd be very much in the plans at Everton.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you say by saying not necessarily in the plans is being very generous to what's really happening, which is he's definitely completely scratched off the roster list.
It's almost as if he's not there. I mean, he could go to Everton, right? Go to Liverpool right now and just hang out, and wait for the medical, and no one would notice. Like, I know Zidane wouldn't.
Yeah, Zidane would be like, he left? I didn't even realize he was here.
Should I have said goodbye? I did when the season started.
This is, kind of fascinating because, and this is what the, it's interesting what's going, Real Madrid are playing well. I'm not in Champions League, but they are playing well in their league. Carlo Ancelotti is like, going back and picking up everybody that he coached in the past, you know,
it feels illegal as someone who's not an Everton fan. There's something about it where I'm like, are rules being broken? Because this isn't fair.
Carlo's like, let's get the gang back together. Yeah. Okay. Yo, Sergio Ramos, Gareth Bale, bring them all back.
Yeah. Thank God Gareth Bale didn't go to Everton. That would have destroyed me. But yeah, Carlo Ancelotti has sort of like, if you are disgruntled, former amazing player of Carlo Ancelotti, welcome to Merseyside.
Okay, come here. Come to Merseyside. Well, we'll treat you right. All right? That's the approach.
It's like a retirement home for Real Madrid players of 3-4 years ago.
Yes, you retire at 29.
Yeah. It's like Florida. It's like, you know what? I'm moving to Florida. I can't deal with the weather here in Staten Island.
So that's big. It's rumored. It looks like, it feels like, you know, when we saw with Alan, we saw it with James Rodriguez. It's a possibility that he'll be there. The rumor is that he will be brought on loan with an option to buy. So that will be great. Everton fan Christian Polanco is quite excited about this. Yeah. And then speaking
also of the women's final, the women's FA Cup final.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. The Everton women playing in the FA Cup final against Manchester City. They lose this match 3-1 in extra time. I'm watching this game and it is brutal, right? Yeah. One, because of Manchester City, very good, but it was awesome to see them tie. Sam Mewis gets the goal. She gets a goal in the FA Cup final, which is huge.
Sammy Mewis in the air is a wonderful thing to behold. I think it was, I forgot who it was. It might have been Ariel. Somebody put like, can she be on set pieces for the men's side, please?
Because do not leave Sam Mewis unmarked inside the
or
box.
Undouble marked. you need to really watch where she's going.
Permanent marker. That's right? What she needs.
Like when we were teenagers and we got invited to like our girl's house for dinner and the parents were like, oh, well, Alexis is on the way to the bathroom. I'm going to show you how to get there all the way to the door.
Alexis, look, some of us didn't have girlfriends as teenagers, okay?
Wow.
La-di-da. Okay,
you really held out, huh?
Okay. You know, some of us were, you know, too scrawny to be attracted by the opposite sex, okay? Anyway.
Well, you should have learned to be loud. And make your way through the world as far as possible.
No, but they tied the game up. A goal from Everton. We got a tall woman as well, Valerie Govan. Okay, the French woman.
That's right.
And she got a header as well. But then in extra time, I was hoping it'll go to penalties. But Manchester City are so absolutely stacked. They have so many great players that they, frankly, I just couldn't believe they weren't tired. Every Everton player was absolutely gassed, and Manchester City could go. They could play another 120 minutes if somebody had asked them to.
Rose Lavelle and Sammy Mewis didn't go over there to relax. You know what I mean? They went to win chips is what they do.
Yeah, so happy for them. The U.S. Women's National Team players getting a victory in the FA Cup final. As an Everton fan, I'm like, I hope they never win again. They continue to lose every European title. They get an opportunity to
You know, they were like, wow, this trophy is a lot lighter than the World Cup, everybody. And don't forget, we got a great interview with Julie Ehrman right after this. But first, we have another unboxing, baby.
Let's go.
This is my favorite moment. And they actually sent it all to me. So you don't get to open or do anything. You just got to relax.
I'm just here to watch.
This is so cool. You know what Crime Faces is, right? Do you follow them on Instagram?
Crime Faces? That sounds bad. What is that?
It's basically a guy who puts up, he talks over fight videos. And he always starts with, "What hood is this?" You've seen him a million times. They're super famous. They're like millions of views. Well, his whole thing is like this sort of green face mask. I love this stuff. I'm always posting them on my stories. Clearly, you're not looking at my stories.
Yeah, you are. You're basically like a 13-year-old on the internet.
I'm 100%. And this guy.
You're still looking up bum fights.
100%. It's really cool. But whenever there's a knockout, he yells bonsai. So like, it's a lot of rhyming that's involved. Well, check this out. Soccer Senseis is doing a collab with them.
Okay.
Look at this. So that's the Soccer Senseis logo, but there's the Crime Faces logo. Can you see that? Like, pretty cool. And if you look, it says Bonsai. Can you see it?
Yeah.
It says Bonsai across the front, which is, this is cool. The guy's like a super New Yorker. I think he's from Queens, but he's like, you know, he'll say stuff like, you know, he hit him with the left, but he should have really looked for the right. You know, like he has like, because then all of a sudden, bonza.
Got him with the two piece. Okay.
Yeah, 100%. It's like kind of like rapping almost. It's very odd, but you got to check it out. But come on, Crime Fights. I mean, Crime Faces, Crime Fights would be even better. Crime Faces is dope. Like, you know, Jake Critch, the rapper?
Jay Critch. No.
Okay. He just got jumped in Elizabeth, New Jersey. So I bet you that's going to be the next Crime Faces video. So what better video to watch? I can't believe you don't know any of this. What better to watch your fights on social media from your couch?
But the fact that you are like, I try to stay on top of music and hip hop, but it's gotten to a point where there's too many rappers. There's too many. The Spotify.
Say it again, Grandpa. We can't hear you.
There's 40,000 rappers nowadays. Uh-huh. How am I supposed to keep up with Jake Rich? Okay.
Jay Critch. I'm sure it stands for Jake Rich, but he's Jay Critch.
I'm sure he's quite talented. I'm sure the other 45 rappers in his crew that I also have to learn their names.
Yeah, respect. Have some respect, will you?
I'm sure they're also talented as well. Okay. Well, thank you, Crime Faces.
And Soccer Senseis. Go to SoccerSenseis.com. Check it out.
Okay. The collab of all collabs. All right. We got Julie Ehrman coming up right after this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right. Gully Squad out in full force.
That's right. Out. I mean, you mean in full force. We are staying inside.
We are outdoors spreading this disease.
That's what we do, Gully Squad. We cough in everyone's mouths,
but we're spreading gulliness, all right? None of that COVID nonsense.
Nah, dude. We're spreading COVID 69.
Okay. That's the fun one.
Yeah, dude. You didn't think you'd want it in the beginning, but when you get it, you're like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
So, yes, shout out to Gully Squad. And, for people who help support the show, help us put out more content. We've been doing a lot more stuff, especially on live streaming. They've been a part of it as well. We've been doing stuff on Twitch. It's been really, really fun. Even though, we're stuck at home, we can still do some fun stuff and give, whether it's exclusive content, a dope Slack channel. We're still putting out great work, and that's all because of Gully Squad.
Absolutely, and they support us, and we want to make sure that's we give them back some cool content, and also we want to make sure we find other people that want to come hang out in the Slack channel, because so far it is pretty lit. It's pretty awesome.
Exactly. So if you want to join Gully Squad, all you got to do is go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button. It's right there on the menu. It's at the top. It is at the bottom. Very visible, easy to find. And it's a great community. And there's also great perks, obviously. The Gully Squad was invited to our birthday party. And how lit was that? I mean, they got to hang out with... Who are some of the folks they got to hang out with, Alexis?
I mean, it was a wild time that I'm kind of forgetting that because I drank so heavily. But we had Sal Volcano of the Impractical Jokers come through.
That's right.
Okay. That's right. The Impractical Jokers.
We had Alexi Lalas come through, who some say is a kind of a clown. Right.
Yeah. See, he's a less practical joker. He also serenaded us right with a guitar. Ellie Menjem of Derby Days and Copa 90 fame.
Yeah. Well, Zach
Valentin, Kyle Martino, Edson Buttle. Yes. I mean,
everybody was there. It was super, super fun. So those are some of the cool perks that come with being in Gully Squad. And we try to give everybody a really fun and unique experience that you may not be able to get everywhere else if you, you know, just a casual soccer fan. So feel free to join. Again, you can subscribe at like whatever level and whatever you want to give every month. And there's different, you know, perks for the different levels as well. So make sure, go to soccercooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, and come aboard.
Toot toot. All right, we're back on a Cooligans Living Room FC, and our guest is here, and this is impressive. This is the first founder and president of professional soccer team we've had on the show, which is now our time to make our pitch to be a very tiny percent owner of a soccer
team. I'm
Christian,
just saying,
you ready?
I'll play, you know, I'll do the business meetings in the sandbox with Olympia. You know what I'm saying?
She might be the fiercest owner we have. So
there you
watch
go.
Out.
Well, the voice you're hearing is that of none other of a digital media impresario, if you will, video game tycoon at one point, and now the founder and president of Angel City, the newest NWSL club. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Unless you're driving, if you are, pull over and have some respect and put those hands together for the one, the only, Julie Ehrman, everybody.
Hello, Julie.
Hey, hi. How are you both?
Not
very
bad.
Good.
How are you? Thank you so much for being on our show.
Yeah. This is an exciting time for I'm sure for you, for a lot of NWSL fans that live in Los Angeles. I guess we should start there. I mean, obviously, the news of Angel City it was well handled. The marketing campaign was clearly worked. Okay,
right?
We set the bar high. Yeah, we have a lot to live up to every time we open our mouths now. So
at first, I thought everyone was just sharing the good luck on Instagram. Turns out, every one of those people are co-owners and founders of this club. You guys have a hell of a Rolodex.
Exactly,
it's an incredible list of owners, founding investors who really believed in what we were building, both on the field and off the field, and that's why the list is so large, because they wanted to be involved and they wanted to make a difference. And they saw Angel City as a way of doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the question is, how did that come about? Because if Natalie Portman calls me and says, we're starting a soccer team, I'll be like, I'll go rob a bank right now. what do you need from me?
Yeah. Can I run it from prison?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what was so surprising for a lot of people is that it was Natalie Portman making the phone call. And in our case, really specifically writing the texts, she wanted to have a meaningful impact here in LA and wanted to have a meaningful impact with women's soccer. She has a son who is a huge soccer fan and would be wearing a Messi jersey one day and a Rapinoe jersey the next day. And to him, they were both the best in class athletes and they were incredible at what they did. And I think she also recognized that his perception is probably different than other people's perception of women's sports, and certainly even like an older generation. And she wanted to bring that feeling of excitement for like the best athletes in the world, regardless of their sex, to a broader stage. And there was really no better way than for her to get involved. But I have to tell you, those early conversations between her and our other founding partner, Kara Norman, were really interesting, because how do you start a professional sports team? Like, No one knows how to do that. And if you do that, I think we would all imagine five old white guys going to the league and saying, we're worth $1 billion, you know, give us a team. And that's not who we were, right? We were three female founders.
I'd be like, should we buy balls first? I mean, what do we do?
Yeah, I would be like, how do I convert into an old white guy? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, and certainly not here in Los Angeles, right? Where there are nine professional sports teams and USC and UCLA, which in their own right, you know, can be considered professional. So it's bringing even like a third soccer club here to Los Angeles, where you have the Galaxy and then LAFC, who came onto the scene and really just blew it up with how they really engaged the community and built something that you feel has, you know, decades of legacy, and yet they're only into their fourth year. It's incredible.
Yeah. And I'm fascinated on how this process even goes, like day to day. Like, I'm genuinely curious. What do you do today to
build Angel City? What happened? Yeah. What's on the agenda?
Show us your calendar. No,
that's why I was 5 minutes late to this call. That's why I'm not able to show you my calendar. No, but it's thinking about all the different elements that it takes to build a club, right? So there's the operation side, and then there's the soccer operation side. And on the operational side, we're building a brand, we're building a community, we're determining where we're playing. As part of that, it's How do you price the tickets? How do you create an incredible experience, you know, pre-game, during game, post-game? And then the soccer operations side of the house, it's how do you build a culture for winning? How do you build a culture for the type of play you want to bring to the table? And then what are the people on the pitch and supporting them that you want to put together? So it's a lot of, you know, trains moving at the exact same time. And I'm fortunate that I'm slowly building this incredible team that can handle all of this pressure and all of this work that we have ahead of ourselves to hit the field in 2022.
I know there's oftentimes a lot of things are overlooked. So if anyone, you need consultants for banter, Christian and I are readily available. We may be a bit expensive. I'm not going to lie to you.
Hey, we still need our, you know, we still need our game day commentators, broadcasters. So, yeah. You know,
okay.
You can sign up now for that role.
Having two comedians be that, it would be, I mean, unprecedented, partially irresponsible.
Yeah, I was going to say irresponsible. I was going to say the fans may think this is not what we should be doing.
But I'm sure it would be.
We've already started doing things that are unconventional. So this would just be something we would add to the list.
I think probably the first thing that I have to ask since you said that is the fans seem to be somewhat split. Okay, so we're going to need to just fully confirm it. You are for the city of Los Angeles. You are not associated with any of the current soccer teams in Los Angeles. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. We're a completely independent club.
Okay, because a lot of people are saying, no, they're associated with LAFC. And other people are like, no, they're associated with LA Galaxy. You're not. You're Angel City.
We're Angel City. We hope to have Galaxy fans, LAFC fans, Rams fans, Chargers fans, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, Dodgers, I mean, you name it. I mean, we want to be a club that really unifies the city under one professional women's soccer club in the same way the Sparks do it for the WNBA. We want to do it for the NWSL.
Yeah, cool. I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see Galaxy and LAFC fans be kind to each other at a game, right. but that's what has to happen.
Maybe
you'll be like Marseille. Marseille has two supporter sections, right, over in Europe. Maybe you'll be the first women's team to have the two Angel City fans, but like they wear gold and black and this side wears blue, you know?
Look, as long as we sell out our stadium, I'm probably going to be okay with that.
All right, cool. There we go. Are there any particular clubs that you're looking at as far as, oh, you know, maybe mimicking that model or trying to gather kind of information on how they, you know, how the organization is run? Or are you guys kind of just doing things on your own and trying to make it as unique as possible?
No, I mean, we definitely had those that we looked at as we were starting to build Angel City. What makes Angel City unique is this organization that comes together with both mission and capital. So this belief that passion drives purpose, which will lead to profitability. And so as our purpose is to set higher expectations, we wanted to build an infrastructure or a platform that was bigger than a game so that we can leverage not only our players and our fans and our community, but also our founding investors to have meaningful impact. And that's not only, you know, championship rings, but that's also in our community and getting youth to play soccer longer or sports longer. It's improving the quality of coaching. It's addressing equality, whether that's pay equity for our players or just equality in our city. And so everybody that's come together for Angel City has understood that we are a platform that stands for equality and impact. And Angel City Football Club is an expression of that platform where we can make a difference on and off the field. And so because of that, we've always believed that we're bigger than the game. And we believe that this is more than just, you know, 11 players on the pitch. And so we looked at business models like City Football Group and even Barcelona as they've built organizations that are much bigger than just soccer. Barcelona has multiple different sports and, you know, they have an innovation hub and they do training and certificate programs. And City Football Group has really learned how to commercialize soccer across any city, any country. When they bring in, you know, or when they buy into a new club, they know how to create an academy system and how to bring sponsorship dollars to those clubs. And we think about it in the same way, is that we're a platform that stands for mission and capital. And when we approach something, we want to make sure that we are addressing equality and essentials in education, which is the underpinning of our purpose.
Yeah, I'm excited to.
I just
see
lost
what...
you both entirely. No. You're like, she's not super talking impressive. About soccer anymore. I don't know what's going on.
I'm ready to buy.
We have a
bunch of questions from our supporters group, the Gully Squad, and we have
which also includes some Angel City fans.
That's right. NWSL fans who offer a great insight, great questions. And we have a question from Emily Gertis. And she said, beyond the star-studded ownership, how do you see Angel City setting themselves apart from the other NWSL teams? How are you hoping to draw players into LA? And she asked another question. And if you could pick any player in the world right now to build a team around or be the face of the team, who would it be and why?
Yeah, look, please drop that on our show.
Yeah, let me do that, right? I'm already learning about tampering rules. And maybe then I just set a budget aside in general for failing to adhere by them. I mean, look, we have 14 incredible former U.S. Women's National Team players that, you know, already are the face of this organization between Lauren Holliday and Abby Wambach and Mia Hamm and Julie Foudy and Saskia Webber. I mean, the list goes on and on. We're so fortunate to have them part of this organization and really helping us think through not only how do we want to build the organization, but also how do we want to build an incredible experience for the players, right? So a lot of times people just talk about the salary the players make, but compensation includes a lot more than just the salary. It also includes, you know, the experience they get, the practice facility, where they live, how they get transported, how they get treated. So, you know, one thing that I hope not necessarily sets us apart from the other NWSL clubs, but at least gets us to the top. But just how we treat the players and the product that we provide to them, which again is the practice facility and the coaching and the game day experience, right? It's my job to fill the stands for the players as well. So I hope that gets us to the top of the NWSL leaderboard. And if it's setting higher expectations, then we'll do that. I think the other there were so many questions there. The other than the star-studded, what was the first part?
How do you plan on setting yourself apart from the other NWSL teams?
Right, and I would say the other thing is storytelling. So we are so fortunate in this league that we have these incredible athletes who we already know are the best in the world, who have their own platforms, and people are starting to follow Megan Rapinoe and Alex Morgan and. Rose Lavelle. I mean, you have real fans of individual players, and we want to be able to take that their platforms and their stardom and bring it to Los Angeles and start telling those stories. So really actively spend the next year telling the stories of the players, of our fans, of our community, of the building of Angel City. We're really fortunate in that we don't have a team for a year. So we're not bound to tell only specific stories. We have the ability to almost be like the Olympics and tell any story that we want of any player. They'll probably have ties to Los Angeles, but nonetheless, we have the ability to start sharing these stories on a broader platform and use not only Angel City, but the platforms of these incredible star-studded, as you said, founding investors to help build awareness and shine a light for this league and these players. That's one of the things that really excited us in joining the NWSL is that we just thought it was so undervalued and so underexposed. I think Lisa Baird and the commissioner and her whole team did an incredible job solidifying deals with both CBS and Twitch to give people the visibility of these games and of these players. And we want to help support that with additional content and telling stories around these players in the league and the community, and specifically our fans.
When you look at, and one of the great questions we have is from Matt Ellis, said, what are the important issues to growing women's soccer in this country and worldwide? But I also want to kind of get from you, you've mentioned youth and academy a couple of times. And that's something that I do think is somewhat missing from the women's game is that structured academy that we see a lot in the men's game, especially that's kind of been happening over the last few years in men's soccer in this country. What are your goals with that? And what do you just see in general, to Matt's question, a way to grow this game in this country and worldwide?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's twofold. One, we have to build the most competitive league for women's professional soccer, period. And if we can do that through player development and compensation and stadiums and practice facilities, then we know we'll get inbound talent, right? So that's step one. And then step two, as far as building the talent pool here, that's something we absolutely have to focus on. We want to get beyond 12 game teams. We want to have 14, 16, you know, we want to have 30 teams. But in order to do that, we are going to have to create some structure around youth development and academy development. And I think it's just a matter of time. It's just one of those things that we have to address. And I know the league is looking at that. And we're trying to develop a long-term vision so that there is a plan. And so people feel that this has legs. I mean, we're entering into the ninth year of the NWSL, which is over two times greater than any predecessor league, right? There were two others. And we're just excited that when we join in 22, it'll be the 10th anniversary of the NWSL, and hope that we can blow that out from a storytelling and an awareness perspective as well.
What does it feel like from a, you know, when I look at the Angel City roster, as far as the front office, right? Like, I mean, there's obviously, it is star studded, but there comes an incredible amount of experience and acumen and intelligence when it comes to, you know, obviously Serena Williams, just absolute stardom, but then Alexis Ohanian being this like tech, coming from a tech giant.
Yeah.
What is it from, like, cause I studied computer science in college. I'm a very big tech nerd.
Right.
What is having that as an asset bring to starting a team that maybe other teams don't really have?
And I also want to say, he's really ruining my opportunity to be the most successful Alexis. You know, I mean, honestly, this guy's really just stepping into everything.
Yeah, you better catch up. More than anything, it's perspective, right? I mean, we are a team of technologists, entertainers, venture capitalists, and sports executives, media executives, investors. And so it just gives us a different perspective to how we bring this club to life and how we build it. So even when you think about ticketing, we know how it's traditionally done in sports, but we want to look at other other examples as well. It's like we look at the Patreon model, right? You know, there's other models out there that have been able to develop communities and create a sense of belonging with this fan base, where maybe there's just a different way to think about it that's never been applied to sports. And so because we have this lead up time, we actually do have a moment where we can have these conversations. We don't feel rushed, or we don't feel behind the eight ball. When we think about our seat deposits, or we think about our membership program, or we think about the experience that we want to provide our fans, like, what do people do at concerts? What do they do at sports games? What do they do internationally? Like, what, how else are, you know, great experiences built and our communities developed where we can bring those lessons to sports and not make it specific to sports, right? But specific to what the best fandom in the world is, or what the best ticketing experience in the world is, or what the best, you know, community experience is, right? And so fortunately for us, it's not that they've just heard of something else, but they are investors in Patreon, right? Or they've been a part of this company that has flipped from doing live concerts to online concerts. Like, they have real tangible experience and knowledge of businesses that are rethinking how they're coming to market, at least today during this COVID world. But then post-COVID world, how can we think about it? And so it's really fascinating for me, because I'm able to take a topic, call up a half a dozen of our investors and say, we're going to talk about this. Do you have something valuable to add? Okay, great. And then we get everyone's opinion up front for when we go and then create our strategy and then ultimately our go-to-market plan.
Yeah, it feels like a little bit like when you're watching Shark Tank and the sharks are like pitch, you know, they're basically trying to all buy into this one idea, but they're like, hey, look, I already own seven companies that have the complete framework to make your product a success, so you should go with me. And that's why it feels like Angel City, with any issue, any problem, there's somebody that has that's completely experienced and has dominated that industry to resolve it.
Your boardroom meetings are a great TV show. I mean, it should be broadcast, your board meetings.
In fact, I was just asked, you know, what's been the highlight so far of this, you know, incredible journey that we've started. And the end of September, we had our first all investor meeting. You know, we had 54 people on that call from Australia, France, Mexico, the United States, multiple different time zones, you know, and regardless if you were, you know, a major celebrity or gigantic athlete, like, everybody was equal. Everyone was in it. Everyone was asking questions, wanting to add value. I mean, it was pretty incredible. And I think what makes Angel City so unique in that there is this, you know, belief in that we're trying to make a difference, right? We're trying to be impactful. We're trying to address equality. And we're doing that through something that's actually really fun and delightful, which is sports, where you can create this insane sense of fandom, which is probably the strongest sense of community that you can build, maybe outside of religion, right? So it's like, you're doing something that's really fun and delightful and joyful, but we also have the ability to leverage that and our platforms to do something impactful and meaningful and make a difference here in our local community, and then ultimately globally. And so it just brings us together for a higher purpose. And everyone is really committed to that and feels very strongly that it's not just their name on a piece of paper or their check in a bank account, that they want to leverage their celebrity, leverage their voice, leverage their, ability to physically show up at a game and really help make a difference with Angel City.
Awesome. We're still here with Julie Ehrman, founder and president of Angel City, the newest NWSL club, which starts up in 2022. Julie, when you see, all of the different things that are going on, I'm sure COVID has had a big impact on sort of how you've gone to market, some of the meetings you've been able to have. But how has it sort of maybe given you a bit of an idea to pause or adjust some of your planning and moving forward?
Sure. So we first started talking about Angel City in the August, September of 2019. And at that point, we wanted to come in for the 2021 season. We knew that it was a short window, but with the Olympics in the summer and have just won the World Cup, we thought there'd just be such continued, phenomenal momentum that it would be the best thing to leverage from a marketing perspective to come into the league in 2021. So that was always sort of the original goal. As COVID started becoming more prevalent and we realized that it was going to have meaningful impacts on social gatherings, but also just the world in general and what we should and should not be talking about, like what's more important. Frontline workers are significantly more important than talking about bringing a women's professional soccer team to LA. So we very quickly in the new year pivoted to 2022 because of the uncertainty around COVID. And then it also had a meaningful impact on our fundraising. So Angel City has come to market very differently. We are bringing together investors that can help us with the journey of Angel City as and when we need them. So we hit certain milestones, then we raise additional money, very similar to how a startup raises money. So we were in the process of raising money through the end of 2019 and into 21, sorry, into to the 20 winter of 20, at which point I just stopped because, it wasn't the right time to ask people for money. What we were doing, there are more important things in the world for all of us to focus on. So it allowed me to pull back and really focus on what does Angel City stand for. So there was a lot of work on our mission and our purpose and our brand. What makes us different? How do we want to come to market? How are we going to have impact in our community? And so we really did have this benefit of multiple months where we could really look internally. And then as the world started to come out a little bit, and everyone's sort of head came up and people were looking for something positive to rally around, something positive to be excited about. The time was right for us to start having those conversations again. And as we moved into the summer, when we announced in July of 2020, it just sort of all just came together where the NWSL was playing. They were the first team back, first league back, super successful with the Challenge Cup, no COVID cases, an incredible ratings bonanza for CBS. And so we were able to sort of create our own momentum working around what was happening in the world.
Yeah. Cool. And you mentioned the ratings, right? Like
it's been huge.
They were incredible, right? The Challenge Cup.
Yeah, over two times. Over 500,000 viewers, the opening of the Challenge Cup. The championship game hit over 600,000. So we over 200% at any, viewership that the NWSL did prior to the Challenge Cup. I think what's really important to note are a couple things. One, when we were having Challenge Cup games and the rest of the league started coming back, the NWSL consistently was beating the ratings of, the WNBA, some MLS games, the EPL. And then in the fall series, which just concluded with all of the seasons back, right, with everybody playing, the ratings held and continued to beat some of the more traditional leagues. And I think that is finally, a wake-up call for sports media in the world that people want to watch and care about women's soccer. And again,
for sure,
the more people can see it, the more fans that they can become. And the ratings are just proving that. And so our hope is to really continue to lean into that in 2021 and definitely in 2022 when we take the field.
From a business perspective, I know as a fan of the NWSL, I can talk to other people and say like, hey,
you should watch. This is why it's cool. This is why it's fun. Right. But from a business perspective, does it make it definitely like a little bit easier to walk into a meeting with a potential investor where, and instead of saying like, you know, these are great stories. This is great. And as opposed to being like, look at the ratings.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing.
You should be coming to me.
I mean, in some ways, it's obviously, it certainly helped us when we started pitching Angel City. You know, they didn't have a commissioner. They didn't have media rights deals done. No. Challenge Cup hadn't existed yet. And the other, you know, incredible thing that happened during the Challenge Cup was that we had new brands join, right? So Secret and Procter & Gamble and Verizon and Google were all new sponsors during the Challenge Cup. So it also proved the league's ability to bring in more revenue, right, for the league, you know, more broadly. And so all of those things certainly help us pitch. And, you know, we're out there in the market right now trying to sell our jersey sponsorship and find our founding investors. And the strength of the league and how it continues to grow every time they present themselves certainly helps our story. And just proves what we always believe, which was, it's, you know, it's an undervalued asset that with additional awareness has some real room for growth.
One thing I haven't seen yet is, I think you see it with Juventus and you see it with some other men's teams around the world, is there now, because of the landscape, a soccer team is actually a brand. And
absolutely.
If you treat it like somewhat of a streetwear brand and a media brand at the same time, it somewhere falls in line where the Nigeria kid we've talked about on the show before, that sold off the shelves to people who've never even heard of soccer. They're like, I don't know, it's a dope shirt. And that's just good for soccer in general. That's good for the brand. Do you think Angel City would be the first women's team to be able to do that? And is that a part of your plan now?
So first of all, that Nigerian kid was done by Matthew Wolf, who's absolutely incredible.
And friend of ours as well.
Oh, he's incredible. So I would say that our aspiration, our ambition is to be a global brand. When we reveal our crest, we expect to see it on hats around the world. And we expect you to know that it's Angel City, even if you've never seen a women's soccer club. So that is absolutely our aspiration. Our mission is to entertain the world globally. And by doing that, we have our purpose, which is to set higher expectations on and off the pitch. So it all ladders up to being a massive worldwide global brand. We're fortunate that soccer is the number one global sport. We are fortunate that we have the absolute best players in the world. And we are fortunate that we have this incredible platform of Angel City on the backdrop of Los Angeles and these incredible founding investors who have a platform and a visibility to help us tell our story. And if we do it correctly, we will absolutely be a global brand. And you're going to have your diehard soccer fans, and you're going to have ones that want to come to the game because it's a super fun 90 minutes. Or you're going to have the tune in because they see us, and we talked about this at break, recreating the, you know, the Showtime of the 1980 Lakers, right? Where tuned in to see Jack Nicholson was there and who his buddies were. Well, you're going to turn in and you're going to see Natalie Portman and Eva Longoria and America Ferrari and Julie Foudy and Abby Wambach. Yes.
At the game.
Why not?
Angel City. Yeah. It's right? Keep going. All right.
And they're
going
to be like, oh, look, there's Christian Polanco. And who's that guy eating a sandwich? Oh, Alexis is there.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned jersey sponsor. And I just got to say, I got to put it out there. If you know, if it's somewhere within the $50 to $100 range, the Cooligans are available to be the shirt.
Not per match.
I will definitely mark that down.
For the season, okay?
Yeah, that's for the season.
We had one last question from Gully Squad. We had a question from Laura McCoy. She had asked, besides hiring Kim McCauley for analytics, what other experienced soccer staff members are you looking to bring on? Kim McCauley, she was journalist and now working for Angel City. A friend who we hung out with at the NWSL Championship in North Carolina as well. So, so what, as far as bringing in the staff for those other roles, is there anyone in particular or roles that you're looking to fill?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have the whole soccer operations side of the house we have to fill. Everything from a technical director to a head coach to our strength and conditioning coaches and nutritionists and assistant coaches. I mean, we're looking at building an entirely holistic team on that side of the house. The reason we brought Kim in so early is that we really wanted to have an idea of players and their availability globally. So not just the U.S., not just the U.S. Women's National Team or the NWSL players, but globally, who are the great talents, who are the up-and-comers, where we can truly build a global team as we, you know, intended to build a global brand. And so Kim is doing an incredible amount of legwork. And as you know, her understanding of the sport and of the players and those involved is unparalleled. And so we feel so fortunate to be adding her or have added her to the Angel City team.
All right. Thank you again to Julie Ehrman, president and founder of Angel City FC.
I'm ready to invest. I'm all in. I've bought in.
You can invest in merchandise. You can invest in season tickets. Like, bring it on.
Okay. All right. Sweet. So, Julie, is there anything you want to let people know about? Any word you want to get out? And where can we find Angel City news?
Become a fan. Become a supporter. Check us out on our social handles at We Are Angel City or on the web at WeAreAngelCity.com. We'd love to talk to you and love to see you in the stands in 22.
Okay.
Awesome.
Succinct, well put. It's going to be exciting to see the club play some games. And there'll be a sell in the next couple of years. It's going to be nuts.
It's going to take over.
It's going to, yeah, it's really has been. Okay. So everybody, make sure you follow us as well at Soccer Cooligans on all social media. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/SoccerCooligans. And follow Fubo Sports on all socials and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. So let us end the show. End the show the way we normally do. I'm honored to include Julie in this tradition. So, for Julie Ehrman, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros,
and together, what are we?
The Cooligans.